gets salty again, it will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And I believe that the Holy Spirit adds flavor to our lives. And last week we talked about the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Holy Spirit's power, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that subsequent experience where he comes upon us and gives us power to impact our world, to be his witnesses. And today we are going to talk about birthdays. So go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles, or go to that location in your e-Bible, to Romans chapter 8. And Romans is New Testament after the Gospels and Acts. Well, you may have thought it's the first Sunday of the month and we did family business, but we didn't acknowledge any birthdays for September. Oh no, we did not forget. So how many of you had a birthday in September? Anybody here? Tara Lee? Laura? Jamma? Gail? Ed? Wow. Danielle? Travis? Okay, so as we sing together, see if you can remember all of those names. Are you ready? I'm going to give it a go. Let's sing together. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tara Lee, Danielle, Jamma, Laura, Gail, Ed, and somebody else who I've forgotten, Travis. Happy birthday to you. Woohoo. Well, if you're sitting beside one of those birthday people and they're okay with this, just put your hand on their shoulder. We want to lift up all of those people in prayer. So, Lord, we thank you that you are the one who gives us life and that you are the one who numbers our days. Lord, we thank you for that gift, and we thank you for each of the individuals here celebrating a birthday. Lord, you created each of us so individual and unique that our body wouldn't be new life without these specific people a part of it. And so, God, we pray blessings and favor on each and every one of them in this coming year. Lord, that you would direct their path clearly, and Lord, that there would be moments of revelation, Lord, in their time spent with you, moments of new revelation, new experiences, new encounters that move them forward to be more and more made into your likeness. In your name, amen. Amen. Any anniversaries this last month? Oh, really? Oh, happy anniversary. That's exciting. And as always, I throw the disclaimer, I'm not good at that particular song, so happy anniversary. Yep. Well, this actually fits, believe it or not, because here is another birthday. So, yeah, this is me. I belonged to the McKenzie family, and I have a birth certificate that says who I belong to, and that'd be Ed and Donna McKenzie, and where I was born, which would be Halifax, Nova Scotia. Now, this person belonged to the Kroll family, Pastor Ed. Surprise! I gave him a little warning last night that something was going to happen. And he also has a birth certificate, and it says who his parents are, Dave and Ellie Kroll, and where he was born, which would have been Victoria, British Columbia. And my kids all have birth certificates too. I only have one of them left in stock because many of them have moved out or taken possession of their own personal items. And the birth certificates, this one is Timothy's, and it says that he was born in Surrey and that he belongs to Ed and I, and that we are his parents, and he is a part of the Kroll family. Now, in our house, we actually celebrate two birthdays a year. In fact, three of our boys have another birthday coming up on October the 21st. Yeah, all on the same day. And that would be their spiritual birthday, the day that they asked Jesus into their heart. And so Matthew and Daniel, our oldest two, were born 15 months apart, and so they made that decision pretty much at the same time. We were doing evening devotions at the table and following a book called Leading Little Ones to Christ, and it just had such a wonderful unpacking of the salvation message. And then years later, when Timothy was 5, he was like, how come I don't get a spiritual birthday? So, because there was cake, and we'd usually do a present that would encourage them on their spiritual journey, like a Bible or a devotional book or a music CD or something of their taste. And so we talked to him, and we were able to discern that he didn't just want cake and presents, that he actually did want to follow Jesus. And so he made a decision that night. So three boys on the same day. And then Aaron's spiritual birthday took place in the van on our way home from vacation Bible school at our church. And he said, "Mom, I have black spots all over my heart, and I need Jesus to clean those up." And so we prayed in the van, and his spiritual birthday is March 15th. Yeah, pretty cool. So, when is your spiritual birthday? Anybody? Anyone have a date? Dan? March 29th, very nice. November 14th. September 9th, yeah, I remember your spiritual birthday. Anyone else? Laura? Oh, it is, that is true. That's right. Anyone else? Spiritual birthday? Anyone? Okay, Vicky? November something? Trudy? February 1st? Did I get that right? 21st. Oh, wonderful. Terry? April of 99. Very good. See, I can't give you one because I don't quite remember the exact day. Same kind of thing. How many of you don't quite remember the exact day, but you know? All right. Well, why did we do this? We did this because I actually didn't know the exact day I accepted the Lord into my heart. And for a while I doubted, was that true? Did that really happen? And so I did ask Jesus into my heart at 5 years of age, didn't really have a full understanding. And then when I was about 15, I was at a friend's youth group and kind of just had a clearer picture of what that meant and needed to make a mature decision to follow Jesus. And so I did that alone in my room and didn't remember the specific date. So for many years, I would doubt that experience and say, well, did I really make that decision? Am I really a child of God? So the bad news this morning is some of you might think, oh no, I don't remember the day and I'm not really even sure of the circumstances. Is it true? Did it really happen? But the good news is that this is part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. And it says this, and you might recognize these words. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father, for his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. And you can see two other references. That's a very similar translation or cross-reference of that same scripture. So more than once in the New Testament, Paul reminds in his letters that, remember, you don't need to behave like fearful slaves. You really are God's children. So my kids don't come up to me and ask, am I really a Crowell? Now, there was a time where they might have, you know, when the younger brother tells the other brother, oh, you're just adopted or whatever. And even then, we all know that adoption is as significant as a biological birth, that a person being grafted into somebody's family. So my kids don't need to ask, am I really a Crowell? They don't ask if they can eat supper with us unless we're having steak and lobster. Then they know, tread carefully. And they don't ask, can we live in your house? We have birth certificates that are witnesses as to how they became part of our family. We have the situation, we remember the day of their birth, each one of them very significant and very different. And so they are entitled to all the rights and all the privileges that come with being a Crowell. Now, I'm trying to think of what some of those rights and privileges are. It's like you get to walk the dog. That's amazing, right? Woohoo! But there's other things. They know that they have a place they can call home. They know that they have parents who are there to back them up, who will come rescue them if they have a flat tire, and those sorts of things. So they're entitled to all the rights and privileges that come with being a part of the Crowell family. The Holy Spirit was the one who drew us to God. He was there at the moment of our spiritual birth, and he is now in us as part of our spirit man. The Holy Spirit drew us, and he confirms our status as children of God, that we are part of God's family, along with all the rights and the privileges that come with that. I was just preparing and thinking, I wonder what our last name would be. Hey? Terrilly, daughter of the king, right? Dan Madsen, son of the king. Yeah, pretty cool. Well, the Word of God is our birth certificate, and the Holy Spirit, the witness to our birth, our salvation day. 1 John 5:6-9 says, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son." So what this is demonstrating to us is that Jesus also had the witness of the Holy Spirit that he was God's Son. So you may recall from the New Testament at his baptism, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, came down and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." So how does the Holy Spirit bear witness that we are God's children? Do we need a dove to descend upon us? Because we are God's children, is it another type of bird? You know, dove is reserved for Jesus, and here's your pigeon or whatever. Is that how he bears witness? No. He convinces us of the truth of the gospel. That is one of the ways the Holy Spirit bears witness. When we come to Christ, we are convinced of the truth of the gospel. He bears witness to Jesus's identity as God's Son. Just as we discussed that happened at his baptism, he also does that in each of our hearts. You know what? There is no other way. In fact, I have pondered sometimes, what would it be like to follow another way? And there is nothing that convinces me of the truth in all of those other ways. The Holy Spirit says, no, this is the way. He also bears witness by the fruit in our lives. As we are doing his work and we see fruit, we talked last week about the transforming work of the Spirit. When he dwells in us, a result is fruit. And so as we see fruit, or wow, you know what, I'm way more patient than I used to be, or I'm way more kind than I used to be, or the self-control that the Holy Spirit, that's evidence, that's the Holy Spirit bearing witness that you are his children. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, "And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us." And I asked myself, why do we need this? If the Holy Spirit's in there the moment of salvation, why did God think we would need the Holy Spirit to minister to us in that way? What else is going on that competes with the voice of the Holy Spirit in us? And I think one of those things, and you probably all know it well, would be emotions, right? Oh, those nasty emotions. They help us understand what's going on in our hearts, but sometimes they can cause doubt and confusion. Well, I don't feel very saved today, or I don't feel God's love, or I don't feel God's grace towards us. And the Holy Spirit supersedes emotions and says, no. I bear witness to the fact that you are children of God. Another thing could be the voice of the enemy. Did you really get saved? Did this really happen? You know, and then we have these doubts. And again, the Holy Spirit's voice can supersede that and say, you are a child of God. The other thing could be past experiences. I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've messed up too big to possibly can be considered his child. And again, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, no, you are a child of God. The Lord knew that we would need his witness in our lives. I think of two songs that we sing quite regularly, that I'm a child of God, yes I am. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. And I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. We sing those songs because they're truth, and we need them to sink deep into our spirit and have the Holy Spirit illuminate that truth. Because the enemy, of course, is going to attack our identity, and he's going to attack our inheritance. And the Holy Spirit offers proof of our identity, and he offers proof of our inheritance. So what are the rights and privileges that we benefit from as being a child of God. One is that we are, as we said before, adopted into the family of God. Now, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I was pondering this about the culture out there that says, you know what, I don't need to go to church. I can serve God on my own. The family of God has issues and whatever, and so it's better for me just to do this on my own. And I thought, it's not about church. When Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, it's not about church. It's about family, right? You are removing yourself when you do that as a part of God's family. And I think about our family. If one of my sons removed himself and said, well, you guys are a little, you know, and we are a little crazy sometimes, you know, so I'm not going to associate with you. There's a break in relationship that happens there in our family. And now they could walk away and live 10 years and say, I'm a Crowell. But after a while, their Crowellness will look very different than our Crowellness. It will become a little bit distorted, a little bit different. Their culture will change, the way they do things. It won't be so Crowell anymore. Have you ever noticed if you've gone to visit someone's house, you know, those strong family cultures where it's like, oh, that's something the Myers do. That's something the Atwoods do. That's something the Chins do, right? And so as we remove ourselves from God's family, our association with the family of God can become just a little bit distorted, a little bit skewed. And we need the family of God because we're family, not because we need people in church. Amen? Another right and privilege is eternal life. Woohoo! Eternal life in heaven with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:4-5 says, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Anyone associate with the dying body part? Yeah, I was talking to someone this morning about aches and pains, right? There's a knowledge that what was 10 years ago is no longer. And so we're deteriorating in that way. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we have the guarantee of the Holy Spirit of eternal life, part of our inheritance. Another right and privilege, oops, I've gone one too far, is the assurance of God's great love. And again, it addresses that concern or fear. Have I gone too far? Will God stop loving me? Assurance means an action that allays someone's concerns or fear. So when the Holy Spirit assures us, when he bears witness, it allays the concerns and fears that we're not God's children. And it's something that engenders confidence in an individual. I think of that scripture that we can approach his throne boldly and with confidence and find his grace or mercy in time of need. And so we have this confidence. You know what? I can approach God. I don't need to hide in the garden in shame and fear, and I can tell God where I'm at. And I was out at the lake on Friday afternoon having a fire and sermon prepping to the degree that my very icy cold fingers would allow. It was cold that day. And just had that prompt, that internal prompt of the Holy Spirit. Where are you, Carolyn? Where are you? And it was a chance just to dialogue with him and say, well, this is what's going on, God. And be able to be confident and not have to hide from that. Another right and privilege is that we will be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. And that comes through our time with the Holy Spirit. We talked last week about positioning ourselves to be transformed, spending time with him, allowing him to examine our hearts and see if there's any wicked way in us and allow correction to happen. Which brings us to the next thing. What are the rights and privileges? We are promised the care and the discipline of our Heavenly Father. And when we talk about discipline, that's simply meaning correction. Correction. So it's that course correction. You know, you make a U-turn when safe to do so, or recalculating. And God comes in and just brings that discipline and that correction and allows us to travel where we need to with him. So what is our response to this? Now that we have this information, now that we understand the Holy Spirit bearing witness and the rights and the privileges, Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So how do we not bring sorrow? It goes on to say this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So as I read this, I think it means behave like your family. Behave like you're part of the family of God, because you are. Represent as one of God's family. We used to tell our kids, and sometimes it still comes up, the less because they're older and we see them way less often. Represent as a Kroll. Remember, you're representing our family when you go here, when you do this, and the way you do your job, in your work ethic, in how you show up on a Sunday morning. Represent. And so it's again about allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us and be made more and more into his likeness, so that we behave and we interact as the family of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness that we are a child of God. All the care, the love, the identity, the promises that come with that. Yes, these are our four boys, the moment the last one became a member of the Kroll family. And we've since added new members, many of you know, a granddaughter and daughter-in-law. But 1 John 4:12 to 14 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Church, today you are a child of God. If there's any place the enemy has put doubt in your heart, or has tried to rob you of that identity or that inheritance, in the name of Jesus, we declare that to be cast down. We say no, that's not the truth. The truth is you are a child of God. And so as the worship team comes back up this morning, I'm going to invite you as we close to pray with me a couple of different ways. So first up, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? If you're here this morning and you're like, that's great that I can have assurance that I'm a child of God, but I don't actually know if I've ever made that decision to become one of his children. If you're here this morning and you would like to be one of God's children, if you would like to be adopted into his family, it means this, that he has promised forgiveness for our sins. He has promised to give us a fresh new start because of the work that he did on the cross. And we celebrated that and acknowledged that through communion this morning as we symbolically took the blood and the body of Christ. And so if you're here this morning saying, I need that, I need forgiveness, I want to be a part of God's family, I want to be entitled to the rights and the privileges that come with that, I'm just going to ask you where you're sitting just to slip up your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that this morning? Right. The second part of this is some of you this morning need assurance. You've been wrestling with doubt. You've been wrestling with your identity in Christ. You've been wrestling with that the promises that are yours. If there's anyone like that, I'd love to pray with you this morning. And you could just slip up your hand. Okay, I see that hand. That one. Yeah. That one. All right. So let's just pause here for a moment and pray. You can go ahead and put your hand down. So Lord, we lift up these individuals to you, Lord, who just need your assurance. Lord, would you break through the lies of the enemy that say you don't belong, that you have no place in God's family, that you've gone too far, that you've done too much. In the name of Jesus, we tear down those lies of the enemy by the blood and the authority in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would restore proper identity. Lord, that you would meet each one of these individuals where they're at, and that your Holy Spirit would just speak and bear witness. Lord, that you would illuminate scripture that once again illuminates your promises, your inheritance, their place in your kingdom. And the last thing is this. Some of you need to take on that identity as a part of God's family. Maybe you've come and felt like, well, I don't really fit here, or God's family is a bit dysfunctional and I'm not sure, and you just need to renew that commitment to God's family this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that? All right. So, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to minister to us in all these areas. Lord, that we don't need to behave like orphan children without a family, without a father. But God, you care for us so deeply, so much so that you didn't just say you'd be my friend, but you'll be my son and daughter. Lord, and that you will be our King, our Lord, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. Well, would you stand with us as we close in a song and just celebrate this morning our status and identity as children of God?